Thank you for having us back today. Today with me, I want to introduce who I have. My husband, Ron, and then I have my friend, Jama, who also works with me at the Telestai House. We have a resident, Mandy, and then we have with us a graduate today. This is special to have her here. We have Kayla and baby Charlie with us today. So thank you for having us here today. And who in here knows what the word Telestai means? Okay, we're going to have a lesson in Greek real fast. No one knew. So Telestai is a Greek word, and it means it is finished. And those are the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross. And we minister to women coming out of jail or prison who want to change their life. So we want them to know that that old way of life can be finished and that there's new life to be found in Christ. So last year we were here, and we were preparing to have our first ever fundraising banquet. Right now, we currently house 4 women for 1 year. We have experienced growing pains over the last couple years. We receive about 100 applications a year, and we can hold 4 women. So 96 women get told, "I'm sorry, I can't help you." So last year, the Lord raised up our pastor and his wife to donate us almost an acre of land where we could build a ministry-owned home that will empower us to reach more women in our community. So we had this fundraiser last year. We came here, we sold tickets, and y'all came out and supported. It was a great event. I have never done anything like that in my life, and it was super fun. We had a catered meal by Western Sizzlin'. We had a live auction, and the board members, they tell me, "You should be the auctioneer." And I said, "I've never been to an auction." And they said, "Oh, it'll be fun." So I went home and I binge-watched Storage Wars, and I picked up a few tricks. We had the best time, y'all, and we raised $28,000 for our building fund. God showed up that night, and he has since multiplied that number. By October, we had in our building fund $48,000. So we broke ground. Yes. So we broke ground. We cleared the land. There was a 100-year-old house on the property with 100-year-old nails in the wood. And we removed as much of that as we could and saved as much as we could. We had dirt work done. We had a basement dug. We had a basement poured. We have framed in the basement. And so much work has gone on. And if you look on our Facebook page, you can follow us there. I post pictures daily. But the basement was framed, the subflooring was down, we're building 4,400 square feet, and our builder calls me the other day and he said, "We need to hire a framing crew to do the upstairs. How much money do we have in our account?" So I pulled out the bank statement and I added some numbers and I said, "That can't be right," and he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "We have $48,000. We have the same amount of money starting the second story as we had when we started the basement. So God is good. That's his economy. We know we're in his work. We know we're doing his business. And we're truly grateful for your partnership with us in this venture. It's overwhelming when I drive up to the house because a year ago it was a couple girls with a vision and a plan for a new home. And now there's sticks and stones going up and it's amazing. And we know who the chief cornerstone is. And that's Jesus Christ. And we wanted to come back this year and invite you to our second annual fundraising banquet. I will again be the auctioneer. I'm super excited. We have a lot of items up for auction. Again, Western Sizzlin will cater the meal. This year, we're going to have it at the Omaha Elementary Gymnasium. The Duran Center was kind of up in the air when we were planning, and we went to the elementary gymnasium, and we met a couple people there and just knew that's where we were supposed to have it this year. And through having it at the Omaha School, next year we will be offering a scholarship to a graduating senior through Telestai House. So we're super excited about that partnership. But our fundraiser this year is going to be Saturday, September 7th. It's going to be at 5 p.m. And we have, tickets have gone like crazy this year. We have a smaller venue, so we had less tickets for sale. But we have reserved 8 tickets for this church. They're $20 a piece. You will come, enjoy a catered meal, be inspired by powerful testimonies, and you'll have great items to bid for and a great cause that the money's going to. We also this year have our $100 table sponsorship available. Last year you all sponsored a table, and it's part of our centerpiece, and it'll say this table was brought to you by Osage Baptist Church. And that helps us cover the tableware, the tablecloth, the paper towel, everything on the table is covered through that sponsorship. This does not include tickets with that sponsorship, but it just gives another opportunity for you as a church to invest in the lives of these women. We want to thank you for all your partnership over the last few years. I went up to the job site the other day, and we have four guys that are framing up the job site, and three of the four are recovering addicts. And it was such an opportunity. I was completely blessed and blown away that those are the men who are building our house. But I told them, I said, all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The Bible says it, and God proves it in my life every day. It's humbling to think that 9 years ago, I was at the end of a 16-year drug addiction. I was sitting in prison, and I was lost, broken, and alone. But the grace of God, we just sang about, reached down into a cell and saved me. And God has saw fit to use all of that past for his glory as I've been able to invest in the lives of women coming out of the same thing that I've been able to overcome. But I know that's not possible without people like you in my life. So thank you for investing in me, but thank you for investing in Mandy, in Kayla, in Charlie. There's a very good chance Charlie wouldn't be here today had Kayla not come to Telestai. So we thank you for all that you do for us and with us. Bless y'all.
Well, you see the opportunity that is before you, and take full advantage of that. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Let's stand together. If you have that found, say amen. If you're just now opening your Bible, say, oh me. Luke 9:23. And these, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you know that Jesus is the one doing the speaking here. All of the Word of God is powerful. This is one of those passages, I think, that we talk about not just us reading the Bible, but it reading us. As we begin to read it, it begins to read us. And this is one of those passages that begins to read us. And he said to them all, if any man, of course that means man, woman, boy, girl, whoever, if any person, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, we don't get into this verse hardly at all until it gets extremely deep. The well just gets deep right in here. And he says, let him deny himself. What does that mean? And take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, remember, Jesus had not yet died on the cross. And yet he knows about the cross. He's living in a Roman world where he had seen the crucifixion. He knew what he was getting ready to do for you and me. And yet he sees this as a job for every one of us in order to be a follower of him. Now look at verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You and I are in this business of saving our life. We are trying to do it for ourselves. We think that we have the best way. We think that if Lord, this is what I want to do. Man, if I could just do this, if I could make this amount of money, if I could work here, or or if I could do this or that, then that would make me happy. If I could get this girl or that guy, that would make me happy. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Did you get it? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Have you got it yet? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you got it, say amen. Did you get it? I tell you, I had to read it a bunch to get it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the testimony of changed lives. We know, Lord, that we all have to be changed. We just pray, God, that you'd use your word now to speak to us. May we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach all that's in the notes today. I'm going to finish that up tonight. So that service starts at 6 o'clock. So if you hear the ending of this, you'll have to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Three characteristics of the committed. But there's in most translations, there's an if here. The King James uses whosoever. But in verse 23, there is this outstanding if. So what does that mean? Why is the if in this passage? If, a word of conditions or options. You may or you may not. So you and I are challenged now with a choice of what we're going to do with our life. Because this, today, is the first day. Did you know that? Actually, it is. This is the first day of the rest of your life. And you don't know where that's going to take you or how long that's going to be, but this is the first day of the rest of your life. So you're now challenged with this if I make this volitional decision to be a follower of Jesus, then everything is going to have to be different. Everything is going to be different and everything changes. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That word literally means creation. He's created over again. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, almost everything else has become new. Right? No! Everything has become new. Everything has become new. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful work of grace in our life. So, in these characteristics of the committed, first of all, it's a lifestyle of self-denial. I think that is a practice. I don't think that we come by it easily. When Christ told the husband to love the wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that does not come easy. That's a practice That's a daily practice. That's an investment on our part in the life of our wife. And so this lifestyle of self-denial is something that is a new practice every day of our life. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Do you get that picture? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So the life that I now live is different, Paul said. Jesus said for us to take up our cross daily. This is before Jesus went to the crucifixion. Author Blessed, I don't know if you'll remember that name or not. I don't even know if he's still alive or not. But Author Blessed, back in the 70s, carried a cross all across the world. All across the United States, all across battlefields, over the world. I heard his testimony at the Southern Baptist Convention a few years ago in Dallas. It's not been a few years ago now. It's been a bunch of years ago. He talked about how many miles that he had walked carrying that cross and sharing the gospel. And he took his shoes and his socks off and showed us his feet, what good shape they were in, because he said, how beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel. And that's okay. I'm not against what Mr. Blessed was doing in order to share the gospel, and he had lots of opportunities because he was carrying that cross. But I'm telling you, folks, a cross is not to carry. It's really not to carry. I mean, they had someone else carrying Jesus' cross after he got partway to the cross, to where he was going to be nailed to it. A cross is to die on. The purpose of the cross is for us to die. The disciples' life is one of serving others. Look with me over in the book of Matthew. Just turn back a few pages. When you get to Matthew, look at the 20th. Let me mark this so I can get back to it. Matthew 20, look at verse 26. I don't have it marked, so you got the same chance I do. Now, I'm not too swift, I can tell you that. 26, 20 and 26. Let me read 25 so you see where we're at. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. So he's talking about living in a world where if you have authority, you're the boss. And you're in charge, and people wait on you. They go get you this and they get that, and you tell this one to clean that, and they clean that, and do all these things. But he says in verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. Who's he talking about here? When it shall not be so among you, he's talking about his followers. Men and women and boys and girls that have made a decision to put Christ first in their life, to be His follower, to be His disciple. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your, some translations say, servant, minister. That's what a minister is, to be ministering to people. To minister to other people. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Wouldn't it have been great to have got to hang around Jesus when he walked on this earth? Let's stay over in Matthew here a little bit. Go to Matthew 6. Jesus says that if you're going to be his disciple, you're going to follow him. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, he says, "No man can serve two masters." So you and I have to make this decision about who's going to be first. Are we going to serve the job? Are we going to serve pleasure? Are we going to serve Christ? Because you can't do both. That's what he says here. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." That word mammon, that's what he's talking about. Because I can tell you for sure that you won't ever get enough. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? In Matthew 4 and verse 19, when Jesus was speaking to the fisherman that was following him, he said, "If you follow me," now you have to listen closely, "if you follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men." Now, your translation says, "I'll make you fishers of men." But literally, if you do a little word study right there in that little phrase, you're going to discover that he is building you into becoming that, fishers of men. He's making you and he's making me fishers of men. If we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we're going to be catching men and women and boys and girls. Look with me over at 1 Peter. Look at the second chapter of 1 Peter. Look down at verse 21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us," what's that next word? What is it? Example. Example. He's left us an example that ye, this is King James, it really means you and me, that you and me should follow in his steps, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He committed his cause, verse 23 says, to the one that judgeth righteously. When we look at his character, the Bible says here that there was no sin, no guile. There was no deceit in him. He was what he was. He didn't try to put on some kind of air. He didn't try to make himself something that he was not. When he was done wrong, he did not do wrong in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. The very best way that you and I can respond to any situation in our lives is to ask that question: what would Jesus do, Brother Travis? You said that in Sunday school last week. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do in this relationship? What would Jesus do if this was going on in his life? Luke 9:24 says that the only way that you can find yourself is to lose yourself. So we come to the fraternity of the grave diggers, and we're going to stop right here. Let's stand together. I spent a lot of my life trying to satisfy Lanny, trying to do what Lanny wanted, what Lanny thought he would satisfy him. And it just never does satisfy. It just doesn't satisfy. But I found that when I follow him, when I walk in his steps, when I do what he has called me to do, there's something exceptional that takes place in my life. It's called fulfillment. That cannot be gotten through money or a job or a relationship. Through wealth of any kind. Through any kind of entertainment. Nothing else will fulfill it. Jesus said that if you die to yourself and follow me, that's where you find it at. Because when you lose your life, that's when you find your life. And your first step in doing that is to become a Christian yourself. Is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. To invite Him into your heart. To forgive you of your sin. Change your life. And change the direction of your soul. Because if you're lost right now, if you're not a Christian, if you're unsaved right now, you're on your road to hell. It's just what the Bible says. It's not some kind of decision that you're going to make later about going to heaven or hell. I used to think that was the way it was. Did you know that 80% of the people who get saved 80% get saved before they're 18 years old. And the older that person gets, those numbers just keep going down. So 80% get saved before they're 18 years old. And the older they get, the harder it is for them to make a decision to accept Christ as their Savior. Kathy, for your dad to be saved was an absolute miracle. 93 years old, and he gave his heart to Jesus. What about you? What about you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? You could do that today. You could make that decision today. Many people have. I mean, you don't have to do it in church, but you can. It's not a bad place to be saved. There's not a bad place to be saved. It's all good places. Where you're sitting on a stump or in the boat or at your house. But today, you could say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. You could make that decision today. Christ. And you're the only one that can do it. You have a decision you need to make. Is it to be saved? Maybe it's to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Maybe it's to become part of this fellowship. I've got some guys up here helping me, and they know how to help you. So if you would decide today, you can either come to me or one of these other guys to make a decision for Christ. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask you to do, to make one of the most important decisions that you could possibly ever make in all your life. And that is for you to step out from where you're at. Come forward. Tell one of these guys, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. As we sing, you come.